Good evening, everyone. It's with great joy and fear and trembling that I stand before you tonight. And I just want to share some thoughts with you that I shared with Pastor Mark through an email. You know, it's during this time that the Lord is wanting to speak to both the saved and the unsaved. And, you know, since this coronavirus has started, well, let me pray before I start to say what I'm about to say. Heavenly Father, I come before you. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the fact that you are a God that fails not, that you're the God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that there's nothing that catches you off guard, there's nothing that catches you by surprise, Father, and you're a God that we can lean upon, we can rely upon, and know that you will never fail us. So, Father, I thank you for that which you've placed in my heart. I thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that shall cause me and allow me to speak that and only that which you want spoken and shared with the people that are listening online tonight. And I give you all the praise and all the glory for one reason, that Jesus, you be lifted up, and that you draw all men unto you in Jesus' name. For the past few weeks, during this whole time, the last time I actually taught on a Wednesday night, I taught on a subject about what the president had labeled a silent enemy. And that was what he was talking about, the coronavirus. But the Lord had showed me that there was another silent enemy that was at work throughout the world, and that silent enemy was fear. And before I came up here tonight, Pastor Mark and I were just talking, and I was sharing with him a little bit of what I'd seen on the news about our governor here in Florida, and he was making a presentation to the people of Florida, and he had fear and facts. He was presenting all the things that had been presented to us in this state that would produce fear, but then he showed the facts. And you know what? God's facts are always true. God's facts always counter that which is not true. Half truths don't make it. So, I said for the past few weeks, we've been asked to do something in order to stop or slow down the spread of the coronavirus. And we've heard it over and over and over and over. And guess what? It has worked. It's called social distancing. You know, keeping 6 foot distance between people, respecting other people's space. And then on Easter Sunday, Pastor Mark did a message. And during his message, as I was listening to it, the precious still small voice of the Lord began speaking to me as he was ministering the word. And He used the scriptures in Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to read them again. It says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices which they had made ready. And they found the stone rolled away back from the tomb. And when they went inside, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed and wondering what to do about this, behold, two men in dazzling raiment suddenly stood beside them." I'm reading out of the Amplified. "And as the women were frightened and were bowing their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among those who are dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you what he was while he was still in Galilee? that the Son of Man must be given over into the hands of sinful men, men whose way or nature is to act in opposition to God, and be crucified, and on the third day rise from the dead. And verse 8, and they remembered his words. And when Pastor Mark said that, and they remembered his words, there was something that happened on the inside of me. And then he used another passage in Colossians chapter 1 that I'm just going to read real quick too. I'm not going to re-preach what he shared, but some of the things he spoke really hit hard in my heart and was the beginning of what the Lord was showing me. In Colossians 1:18, it says, he also is the head of his body, the church, seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus wants to be the preeminent space in our lives. And then Pastor Mark began to share about an encounter he had with the Lord on a Thursday morning. And he was right here in this sanctuary where we're at tonight. And he expressed, he was in here all by himself. And you know, there's some of you that have been in a house, you've been in an apartment, you've been in places all by yourself. Just because there's no physical person in that area that you've been quarantined into, there is one who's in that space with you, and that's Jesus Christ. And just as Pastor Mark shared, while I was in here in the sanctuary on that Thursday morning, he began to experience the presence of Jesus Christ. And as you're listening there tonight, if you're feeling alone or you're feeling that you're all by yourself, God Himself is wanting you to experience His presence. He's wanting you to know that He's there, that He's going through this with you. And he says, Pastor Mark says, as he began to experience the Lord's presence, he felt God drawing near to him. Now, I didn't say Pastor Mark said he was drawing near to God. He was in his presence and he felt God drawing near to him. And some of you listening tonight, God is wanting to draw you near to him, wanting to draw you near to himself. And it was when he shared that on his Thursday morning class, I believe, there was this still small voice I heard. He says, take a look at what's going on in the world. I said, there's a lot going on in the world, Lord. He goes, no, take a look at what's going on in the world. There is an enemy that has attacked, killed some unfortunately, hospitalized some unfortunately, put a damper on every aspect of our lives. And that which slowed it down, and that which has brought it almost to a place of management, has been social distancing. And I wrote this down. I said, the coronavirus pandemic has shaken every area of our lives and the lives of people throughout this world. Every area. It's affected people's jobs. It's affected people's family life. It's affected people's children's schooling, sports, entertainment, our ability to pay our bills, retirement plans, even our shopping. It is hard to think of an area of our lives that has not been suddenly turned upside down. every area. There's been a lot of fear. There's been a lot of anxiety. There's been a lot of discouragement. And this, I just got quiet at that point. And I said, Lord, you know, that's so true. And then he said, social distancing that has been taking place throughout the world and staying at home has revealed in the saved and unsaved the cracks in our lives and our relationships. It's been revealing the cracks in our lives and relationship. We as the people of this world, there were things that we felt secure about. And we felt secure, and there was nothing that was going to take those securities away. But during this period of time, everything that we called security, we found out it's not secure. It's not secure. Financial market. It's not secure. It can be gone tomorrow. You know, everything that we've put our trust in could be gone tomorrow. And, you know, Christine had shared this poem by Sarah Bournes. And I'm just going to reread it again because I don't think we can not hear it enough. She says, we've all been exposed. Not necessarily to the virus, maybe who even knows. We've all been exposed by the virus. Corona is exposing us, exposing our weak sides, exposing our dark sides, exposing what normally lays far beneath the surface of our souls, hidden by the invisible mask we wear. Isn't it interesting that during the coronavirus, as it got worse, we were encouraged to wear a mask. But what about those invisible masks we've been wearing all along? It says, now exposed by the proper mask we can't hide far enough behind. Corona is exposing our addiction to comfort, our obsession with control, our compulsion to hoard, our protection of self. Corona is peeling back our layers, tearing down our walls, revealing our illusions, leveling our best laid plans. Corona is exposing the gods we worship, our health, our hurry, our sense of security, our favorite lies, our secret lust, our misplaced trust. Corona is causing everything into question. What is a church without a building? What is my worth without an income? How do we plan without certainty? How do we love despite risk? Corona is exposing me. My mindless numbing, my endless scrolling, my careless words, my fragile nerves. We've all been exposed, our junk laid bare, our fears made known, the band-aid torn, the masquerade done. So what now? What's left? Clean hands, clear eyes, tender hearts. What Corona reveals, God can heal. Come, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. That's a very powerful poem. But not only is it powerful, but there's a lot of truth in that. And the Lord said, there is another distancing that is taking place. And has taken place since the Garden of Eden. Because God told Satan that he would put enmity between the woman's seed and him. And ever since that was spoken, the enemy, Satan himself, has been trying to distance you and I from knowing the true and living God, the one who created us, the one who loves us, the one who wants to reveal himself to us, the one who wants to show himself to us, the one who wants to draw near to us, because we are his beloved. But yet there's been a distancing. I call it the Jesus God distancing. And this is the question I ask after reading that poem. And this is the question the Lord asked me. And I wish I could say I passed it with flying colors, but I didn't. This is a question. In what areas of my life or your life have we kept Jesus and God our Father at a distance? And what I mean by that, I know in my own life there's times when I've not included God. I've not included Jesus 100% in every aspect of my life. And I got convicted, because when I do that, you know what I'm doing? I'm saying, Jesus, keep your distance. Jesus, don't get too close now. This is my area. Well, he's Lord of all. He's not Lord of that which we pick and choose for him to be Lord over. He wants to be Lord over all that we do. And then in that chapter 24 of Luke that Pastor Mark was talking about, it describes a situation in which a stone was rolled away. And what did they find? They found an empty tomb. Jesus wasn't there. And the question I had to ask myself is, the stone of my heart, what is behind the stone of my heart that I've not allowed Jesus to roll away the stone to experience the resurrection life that occurred when Jesus had the stone rolled away? See, God is wanting to roll away the stones in our lives that prevent us from experiencing resurrection life. And in that passage, when he said, remember, let me just read it again here. In verse 8 of Luke 24, it says, and they remembered his words. That just kept ringing over and over and over. And when I reread Luke 24 and remembered his words, then there were scriptures, there was God's word that began to roll over in my spirit. And the first one that I'm going to read is one that Pastor Elnora shared with me a long time ago. It's Matthew 15:13. It says, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And I wrote, when God's people keep Jesus at a distance, we prevent him from uprooting those things in our hearts that were not planted by him. Now, listen very carefully what I said. I'm not going to go into it tonight. I was sharing with Pastor Mark earlier about some new studies that are coming forth in regard to how the heart functions and how the heart operates. And they're finding that this heart that God created actually has the ability to remember and has a brain of its own. That blew me away when I heard it. But it says, We prevent him from uprooting those things in our heart that were not planted by him. Where did all this separation start? This distancing that we have with God, that we allow to still be there. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." I said, "Oh Lord, I want to know whatever iniquities I have in my heart that is separating me from you. Lord, remove them. Uproot them from my heart. Because I don't want any separation. Yeah, I've created my own separations by my own choices and my own free will because I decided I can handle this, Lord." You know what I found out? Most of the times when I said, "I can handle it, Lord," he has to bail me out because I screw it up. I mess it up. But he says, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." And the Lord says, go to Ezekiel 33, verse 31. It says, "And they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and hear my words." Hear my words. "But they will not do them. For their mouth they show much love. But what's the problem? Their heart goeth after their covetousness." Their covetousness. Now, some will say, that's the Old Testament. It didn't really apply. Well, Jesus brings it up in Mark 7:6 when he repeats in verse 6 and 7, he says, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." See, this time that we've been going through, this time of trying and plagues and pestilence or whatever you want to call them, None of us have gone through this alone. God has been right there with you. In your house. With you. When you go for a walk or you go to the store, God is right with you. See, God is wanting his people to draw near to him. He's wanting this time when we're quarantined, maybe from one another, but give me scripture and verse that says we are ever quarantined with God. We're never quarantined from God. God would like to quarantine us sometimes to get us alone and get us quiet so he can show us things that he wants us to reveal to us. But we're never alone. I'm going to go to James chapter 4. And Pastor Mark shared this in his Thursday morning class, I believe, also. I'm just going to read verses 1 to 8, then I'm going to concentrate on verse 8. It says, what leads to strife, discord, and feuds? And how do conflicts, quarrels, and fightings originate among you? Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? You are jealous and covet what others have. Has any of that gone on in anybody's heart during this period of time? Well, so-and-so, they got a check. I didn't get one. And your desires go unfulfilled, so you become murderers. To hate is to murder, as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek. So you fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask. Or you do ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is when you get what you desire to spend it on sensual pleasures. You are like unfaithful wives having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that the Scripture is speaking to no purpose that says, the Spirit, whom He has caused to dwell in us, yearns over us, and He yearns for the Spirit to be welcome with a jealous love. He's wanting His Spirit, His Spirit is yearning to have fellowship with you and I. He's yearning to be able to draw near to you and I. Verse 6, but He gives us more and more grace, power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That is why He says, God sets Himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. So, be subject to God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Now, this is what I want to concentrate on here, verse 8. Come close to God, and He will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interests, and purify your hearts of your spiritual adultery. As you draw near to God, be deeply penitent and grieve, even weep over your disloyalty. Let your laughter be turned to grief and your mirth to dejection and heartfelt shame for yourselves. Verse 10, humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your lives significant. That's what God is wanting to do. He's wanting some right now feel like your life's insignificant. It's not. God never made your life insignificant. In John 12:32, Jesus says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw some men unto me. That's not what it says. He says, I will draw all men unto me. God is at work during this pandemic time that we've gone through in this country and in the world. He's in a place where he's drawing. His Spirit is wooing the saved and the unsaved. He's saying to the saved, come closer. Come closer. Let me have more of what's in your heart. Let me have everything that's in your heart. Don't keep me at a distance. I want to be near. I want to draw near. You think David knew the importance of drawing near to God? Well, based upon Psalm 73:28, it says, but it is good to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works. That's what David said. He said, it is good to draw near to God. But yet, I ask you this question. If it is good to draw near to God, and God is a good, good Father, why are there areas in our life that we still keep Him at a distance? We go, no, you stay over there, Lord. He's not contagious. Well, yeah, He is. He can be. He can be if we allow Him to draw near to us and we experience time in His presence. It can be very contagious. It can cause things to happen in your life and my life that we never thought would happen. But it's not like the coronavirus. It's not that type of contagious. It's a contagious aspect that will cause you and I to increase, will cause Him to increase and you and I to decrease. I almost said that wrong, Lord. Thank you. See, you know, in verse 8 there, this was something else the Lord pointed out to me, because when I started looking at some of these scripture, there was another word that popped out. What's the beginning of verse 8 say? In the Amplified, it says, come close to God. Come close. You know, that's an action on your part and my part. He's bidding. He's saying, come close. Come close to God. And He will do what? If we come close to God, He's going to come close to us, because that's His heart's desire. That's His heart's desire, is to have fellowship with you and I and to be able to draw near to a pure heart. Yeah, we still have things in our heart that are not there, that are not right. But when we allow God to come in, He knows how to uproot those things that He didn't plant in there so He can draw closer. So He can draw closer. I want to read Revelation 22:17. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So the first come there is related to the Spirit and bride. God's Spirit and bride is saying to His church, come. Come. Come to me. Draw closer to me. Don't keep me at that distance. Don't Jesus, God, distance me. Come. Come close. And then He says, and let him that heareth say, come. Because apparently the Spirit and the bride are saying, come, but there's people that can't hear the Spirit and bride saying, come. And then he makes another classification here. And let him that is athirst. See, when we're thirsty, when we're hungry and thirsty for the things of God, it will want you and I, it will cause you and I to want to come and seek and knock. Because if we come and we seek and knock, He will answer. But He's wanting to draw us. He's wanting to remove that, whatever that distance is in our lives. In the world for the pandemic virus, it's a 6-foot distance. Everywhere you go, you see little X's on the floor. You see little markers on the side. You know, safe distancing. You stand here, you stand there. You stand here, you stand there. We see it every day. But God is asking you and me, do we have those same markers in our spiritual lives with Jesus? Are we saying, no, Jesus, you stay here. Oh, God, you stay here. Oh, Father, you stay here. Oh, Jesus, you're back here. We're doing that. We are doing that. And I believe God is wanting to use this time to break down that distance that we've put between ourselves and God. He loves you and I so much. He doesn't want that distancing. And then this is what really, 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 really got me. Pastor Mark started teaching on Goshen. And he's laying some groundwork to teach on Goshen. And I says, okay, I'm gonna listen while he's laying some groundwork here, but I want to know what the meaning of Goshen is. So while he's laying the groundwork, I'm looking up in the concordance what the meaning of Goshen is. Guess what it is? Drawing near. That's what the word Goshen is, drawing near. And Pastor Mark shared with me, he says, you know, because he was talking about Joseph in Goshen. And he made this statement. He says, just as Joseph's brothers had to draw near to Joseph, then Joseph was able to draw near and reveal himself and God's plan to them. And the exposing of things that needed to be exposed in the hearts of his brother and his father, they were revealed. And when they were exposed, then guess what began to flow? Forgiveness. Forgiveness began to flow. Because one drew near to one, the other drew near to the other. And as I'm sharing that, there may be someone in your life that you haven't seen since a pandemic virus that rubs you the wrong way. And when you see them, you don't draw near to them, you draw away from them. We have to be very careful of that, brothers and sisters. We don't have time to do that. And you got to remember, God loves that person that you're drawing away from more than you do. And you know what His Spirit is saying to that person that you may not fully agree with or fully like? Maybe even be an enemy. I know because I've been dealing with this for the last 3 weeks. The Lord's been showing those people that they bug me. And He said, you can't let them bug you. And He says, most of the time, the reason they bug you, and I love my wife because she's so honest and so truthful. She says, the reason they bug you, because you probably see things in them that are in you that you don't like. And you know what? That's very true. It's easy for you and I to see things in other people that bug us, but you know what? We do the same thing. But it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. And I wrote down this. I said, God is using this period of time in history to show us the areas that we've been keeping Jesus and God at a distance. And he's saying to us, it's time to roll away the stone from our hearts and let Jesus be Lord of all and let Jesus arise in our hearts. Because you know what? I don't know about you, but if you're out there and you're not saved and you're wondering if there's a God or not a God, I'm going to plant something in your heart right now. Because I had it in my heart. And it's what led me to being saved. Every person that was created and born on this earth has a void somewhere in that heart. The unsaved look at filling that void with drugs or alcohol or sex or whatever it may be. They look for ways to fill that void. I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony of people that were searching on ways to fill that void, that area of their heart that was empty. You know what they found out? Just like I found out. The only person or the only thing that can ever fill that void in my heart or your heart is Jesus. No one else. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. And I'm gonna close with something that kind of blew me away. Because, you know, we think in times like this that God is only going to speak through His anointed. I believe God is getting hold of everyone's heart in some way, some fashion, or some form. There is a shaking that's going on. I heard it last night, Carter Conlon, in his Tuesday night prayer. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be obedient right now because there's a national day of prayer that's coming up that's going to be at Plymouth Rock. And Carter Conlon has been asked to lead that prayer for this nation. We need to be in prayer and intercession for him now. Because there is something going on in that man's heart. Just like Pastor Mark and I were talking before the service. There's something different. I can't describe it to you. There's something different that is happening. And there is going to be strongholds broken when he stands up to begin to pray. But I want to read something to you in closing. This was posted on an Instagram page a few weeks ago. I'm not going to read who posted it until I finish. But this is what it says. In 3 months, just like he did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything we worship. God said, "You want to worship athletes? I will shut down the stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I will shut down the civic centers. You want to worship actors? I will shut down the theaters. You want to worship money? I will shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. You don't want to go to church and worship me? I will make it where you can't go to church. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." I know this person. I don't know what their stand is with the Lord. But this is what he closes with. Maybe we don't need a vaccine. Maybe we need to take this time of isolation from the distractions of the world and have a personal revival where we focus on the only thing in the world that really matters, Jesus. That was posted by Hulk Hogan. Goes by the name of Terry Bolin. Terry Bollea. Now, if the Lord is revealing something like that, because you know what? You can't say it much better than what he said in that last paragraph. And I'm gonna read it again, because I'm going to read that last statement, because that last statement is so powerful. Maybe we don't need a vaccine. Maybe we need to take this time of isolation. None of us know how much more time we have in this isolation, but I'm encouraging you right now, whatever time is left and you're isolated, take that time of isolation from the distractions of the world, from the distractions of your life, and have a personal revival where we focus on the only thing in the world that really matters, Jesus. In other words, stop distancing yourself from the one who loves you more than you will ever know, the one who died for you, the one who took all your sins upon his body and died upon a cross. Put your focus on him. Remove whatever is causing you to be distanced. Because once this is all over, what are we going to do? Go back to the same thing? Forget it all happened? Forget all about God? Forget all about Jesus? Forget all about the Father? No, that's not the purpose of what we're going through. If we will hear the Spirit and the Bride that's saying, come, if we will hear the voice of the living God through His Spirit that's wooing us, that's drawing us into a place where we can have a more intimate, knowing relationship with the one who created us. What is wrong with that? Because that's what God's doing. God's saying, come. Come. Oh, thank you, Lord. I almost forgot something that's very important. Go to Matthew. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Okay, Lord, what did I do with that? Matthew 15, 28. Here's that word again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I can't find it in my notes, but if I believe that, Pastor Mark, you might be able to look it up. I believe that the word, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you a rest. I believe that word labor there means at a distance. If I remember right, because I looked it up, but for some reason I didn't write it down. It's either the word labor or heavy laden. Oh, where's that at, Lord? Well, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you a rest. He's saying, come unto me. Don't keep me at a distance. Don't keep me far off. Because if you take my yoke upon you and learn of me, see, as we draw near to him, it's the best place we can be to learn of his ways, of his heart. I hope what I've shared has been uplifting. I hope what I've shared has been encouraging. But brothers and sisters, those who are not yet brothers and sisters, those who may not know the Lord, there is a drawing that's taken place by God himself to both the saved and the unsaved. And it both for the saved and unsaved is motivated by one thing. That's his love. God loves you and I. It's not his desire that anyone would perish. It's his desire that all would come to the knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I just come before you right now. Lord, I ask that you forgive me of all the times and situations and circumstances that have kept you at a distance, that I haven't allowed you to come near, that I haven't allowed you, I haven't allowed myself to be in your presence. And Lord, I know I'm not alone. There are many that are listening here tonight that have kept you at a distance. And you're saying, let me come near. Let me come near. Jesus even rebuked his disciples when they would try to keep the little children. So this isn't just about adults. This is about little children. This is about anyone who has a heart and can breathe. He's wanting to draw us near during this time of quarantine, during this time of isolation. So, Father, show us the iniquities that still separate us from your presence in our lives. Show us those areas in our hearts that still hinder you from being Lord of all. And we praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.